other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the internet's only, let's just say the internet's favorite podcast about books. Let's say that. We discovered some other book podcasts that are out there. Not the only one, unfortunately, but we are the best and favorite. And we're the only one sponsored by books, too, which is really nice. I'm Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hello.
And Brick.
Hi.
Oh, timid Brick today. This is our Story Club episode. This is the first of the new round of Comics Club. We did Comics Club in the past, and we covered two series, Shade the Changing Girl by Cecil Castellucci and Marley Zarconi, and Paper Girls by Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chiang. And got to a point with both those series where we were kind of willing to move on. Shade ended, and Paper Girls seemed like a sort of good ending point, and we had kind of exhausted our topics there. Wanted to refresh and start with something new. Our challenge this time around was to find a series that was new to everyone. So I had read Paper Girls and Shade before, so I was kind of advanced knowledge that my pals didn't have. Whereas in this case, I wanted to pick a series that I had just started reading with them. So there was no advanced knowledge. There was no sort of looking ahead. This is just purely taking issue by issue and seeing what's going on. We had it down to two contenders this time. The first one was American Carnage by Brian Edward Hill, and I forget the artists now, which is a new series from Vertigo about white supremacists and a detective investigating them. And this series we chose, which is called Die by Kieran Gillen and Stephanie Hans from Image Comics. This is a new series. The first issue came out in December, so issue two came out January. And this is what we chose to discuss. And I think you guys seem to be more intrigued by this concept, right? I feel like when we sort of passed out the ideas of the two, this one seemed the most intriguing or the most likely to be successful. Is that the case? Or was American Carnage not biting you? Or what's the...
I think I don't remember even looking at the... Did we look at a small preview of American Carnage? We looked at a quick preview of both, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember why Die stuck out. I think Brick responded first that Die grabbed him, and I just kind of went along with it.
Okay. Brick, do you have thoughts on sort of why Die grabbed you initially? Or
yeah, I don't remember what I didn't like about American Carnage.
It's great, by the way. So, I mean, I'll probably be discussing it in comics episodes in the future at some point. Yeah, this is definitely, it's a different approach. American Carnage is sort of like, you know, it's obviously more rooted in reality, and it's about detectives and white supremacists, and kind of has a very obvious current politics thing going on, whereas Die is much more fantastical.
It's what, it's detectives tracking white supremacists?
Yeah, infiltrating a white supremacist gang, basically. There's not very subtle Trump things all over it.
I think the fantasy aspect of it, we don't normally do fantasy stuff.
It's true.
So that intrigued me. And then most comics, at least that I've read, take place in cities. Hmm. And this one takes place somewhere else, which was cool.
Yeah.
I guess that was my initial impression just from choosing.
Yeah, that's interesting. The creative team here, Kieran Gillen is the writer. He has a pedigree. Personal pals here know him from the series Phonogram, which I talked about on our old podcast, and was soundly mocked for liking Phonogram because it's a comic about music and magic, and abused by my friends for that. So good memories there. He also has written a couple series that I liked in the past, one called Three from Image that was about Roman soldiers. Most recently, The Wicked and Divine, which is, I stopped reading after a while, but is about kind of new gods and also about music as well. Stephanie Hans is less known. She's mostly known as the cover artist for Gillen's Journey into Mystery series from a couple years ago. This is one of her first long stab interior sort of jobs, and she's an amazing artist. So cool to see her art here as well. So let's do plot first, I suppose, and then sort of break down kind of what we thought about these issues.
Sure.
The overall approach here is that this is about friends who sort of are part of a tabletop role-playing game club, I suppose, or group. And
who were.
Yes, yeah, were. And in the past, in the 80s, one of them made a special game for their friend as a birthday present. And we're not exactly sort of shown what happened, but something happened, and they were taken into like a fantasy realm of the game, essentially, and disappeared for a year or maybe 2 years, something like that. And then suddenly reappeared without one of their members. The person who made the game in the first place was missing and thought dead. And there was some obvious other traumas. One person had lost an arm and so on. Cut to the present where they sort of live lives of hardship and difficulty. And all of a sudden, a sort of 20-sided die comes back to them. It's the one that was held by the missing member. And they together are rocketed back into this fantasy realm to find that he is now basically the villain, I guess. He sort of has these powers and is forcing them to relive their trauma in this fantasy realm. And they adopt their old characters and kind of go off on a quest from there.
And they're British, too.
They are British, yes.
Do you read many comic books where the characters are British?
I'd say you get it here and there, yeah. I mean, like, Gillen is British, so tends to write. I mean, Phonogram was all set in England, so is Wicked and Divine, that kind of thing.
Are there different styles and, like, different themes and stuff in British comics, or is it just, like...
Yeah, British comics, period, yes. So if you're talking about, like, 2000 AD, which is the major British comics magazine, then you're going to get lots of different kinds of stories there for sure. But a lot of British or English creators cross over to US and sort of work for US publications or companies. Image is different because it's mostly or entirely it's a creator owned, really. So they're given free reign to do what they want to with some, you know, backing from their marketing team. But it does sort of have like an English, I think, bent to it in some ways. Yeah. I'm not sure about the artist's sort of nationality or ethnicity. I'm not sure if she's English or not. So two issues sort of leave us in this fantasy realm. It's kind of setting up a lot of world building and character establishing and not much from there. So I'm curious to hear what your initial reactions to this series were. So what did you think about this book, these two issues, I should say?
I'm not fully sold on it, but I'm intrigued enough to want to read more.
Yeah, what's not selling you?
Well, I'm kind of lukewarm on the art.
Really?
I don't particularly like how the characters look, and the colors are great, but they're very samey, and I'm a little concerned that after a few issues, I'm going to get sick of seeing orange.
Interesting.
That said, the non-character art, like all the big, wide shots.
Yeah.
Shots isn't the word. The big, wide, like the panoramic things or some of the action. The action sequences where there's lots of light flashing everywhere, and I think all that looks really nice.
Yeah.
But the actual characters, both the humans and sort of the design of the orc fallen things, isn't my favorite.
Hmm.
So things like that where that giant bear spirit is coming out of the sky to the battle, like those look great.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's bad art. It's just stylistically the characters don't really grab me.
Interesting. Dave?
Story-wise, I was grabbed immediately by the setup, the introduction of the characters, and the art kind of worked in that same way too, just like very ominous in an intriguing way. And then, you know, we flash forward to, I don't know, 20 so years into the future.
Yeah.
And all their lives have gone to hell, and that was really dark and well done too. I thought so. I was after issue one. I was like, I'm in on this. But when they get to the world, into the fantasy world, it's just like utter chaos, and I was unable to follow it, and I found myself less willing to follow it.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like you need to have a decent grounding in like either Dungeons and Dragons or this kind of experience. What I like about it is that it plays with the conventions of role playing games quite a bit. It's very aware of it without being, you know, pandering or whatever. You know, like they mention Narnia and Lord of the Rings and William Gibson, but not in a "I'm lazy, I don't need to explain" this way. It's just it's clear that this is something that's very obvious to these people,
yeah,
these characters. And it's just part of their experience, particularly people that have been forced to live inside one of these fucking things.
Yeah.
But it was very chaotic, and it took a while. Like, if you don't know what the tropes are, it might be just totally off to the wind. But, like, for instance, the part with the girl who's the cyber rogue or whatever,
yeah,
how they talk about how it's basically, she becomes an addict to her own abilities.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I thought all that stuff was pretty interesting. And I think there's the potential, because I think one of the strongest things, it seems like Dave said, was the relationship between these characters,
yeah,
and particularly the shared trauma. They've kind of been isolated, you know, in the beginning. They're not allowed to talk about
what happened to them,
their experience. It's not super clear if they are like somehow prevented or they just made a pact not to.
Well, she explains that the main character in real life, it's a man, but in the fantasy realm, it's a woman, sort of cast a spell where she prevented them from talking about it, because they sort of mentioned that they were allowed to leave if they defeated the Grandmaster, if they all wanted to, but he wouldn't let them go unless they agreed to tell people about the fantasy world and to like lure people basically into as a trap.
Right, but they rejected that.
Yeah, so she said that we cast a spell, so like we like literally weren't allowed to talk about it by like the virtue of this magic.
To keep them from playing into his thing.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But okay. Then when they came back, that spell was broken, so now they can't talk about it.
So this could kind of, you know, it's kind of like the Lost situation where it could really go either way and you don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
If it's these characters working through in their, you know, a game like this that they're forced to inhabit is inherently both cooperative and a little bit competitive at the same time.
Yeah.
And if they're forced to work through their traumas or whatever it is together through this thing, then if done well, it could be a very interesting narrative. However, it could also just be, if it's just chaos and fighting orcs constantly, then that'll get boring quick.
Yeah. I think Dave's point is well taken, that once you get into the fantasy world, there's a lot of discussion of, you know, what actually is just like gameplay mechanics, right, and character tropes. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, I think, at times to keep on top of that. And the back matter really helped with that. There's essays in the back of each issue by Kieran Gillen explaining sort of his process and thinking behind the series. And it sort of helps to clarify some of those points. But it's also, you know, that's extra material, right? It's not exactly happening in the story necessarily. Although maybe it is, I'm just not picking up on it.
But I think it was there, but I think it took a little work.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It definitely requires a bit of prior knowledge, maybe to sort of to make this smoother.
I think it would have helped to get to know the characters a little more before they got their game personas.
Yeah.
Because especially the scenes where they're kind of like silhouetted in this battle, like I don't know who's who and like...
Right, yeah.
So towards the second half of the issue, it started to clarify that stuff a little more. Hmm. But I think we hadn't quite gotten enough bearings, which is hard because if there was four issues of them in the real world, it would have been very jarring to come back there. So I don't know how they're going to handle it. But
right. I felt like I needed the characters to be wearing like jerseys with numbers on the back so I could see who was doing what and when. But to be fair to the creators, I have no background in this. I don't believe I've ever played like a Dungeons & Dragons type game. And I guess what I'm saying is this wasn't written for me. I'm following along the best I can. And I'll be glad to continue to, you know, I'll read the back matter and stuff, see if that helps me out at all.
Right.
But yeah, right now I'm a little lost. I want to know more about their, you know, I want to meet the characters in this world and spend more time with them here. And maybe that will help me when I go to the fantasy world. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the nice angles of this, it reminded me a little of, I don't know if you guys ever read it, The Magicians by Lev Grossman. Mm-mm. Or saw the TV show. It was a little better in concept than execution, but it was still interesting. Kind of the idea that, basically the concept of that book, which is similar to this, is that it was like a Narnia analog, but the whole place kind of went to shit.
Right.
And that sort of is happening here, because they're kind of faced with two paths, which is like a hard path through a war zone, or they can go take the long way and visit all the old towns and people that they remembered from their travels the first time.
Right.
But then they immediately encounter someone who they knew from before, and he's been like cursed and his eyes have rotted out, and he's basically like a wandering phantom kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's clear now that like decay has taken over this world, and it's a hostile place. And so I think that's, again, interesting, but it'll have to be executed well to remain interesting.
Yeah, and I thought that scene was really effective. Maybe my favorite moment of the series so far was that kind of bit of the haunted night and how it's, you know, almost like their actions have caused this trauma, right? So they're
responsible.
Yeah, they're responsible for kind of what's happened here and having to endure that responsibility, or sort of, you know, it's like running into an ex and realizing that maybe sort of something happened to them that you were probably responsible for and feeling bad about that.
Yeah, well, but you know what? It
future bro to bro.
Aaron, yeah, we'll dig into that later. But I also think the other thing I wanted to mention with it, I think the writing is very good.
Yeah,
better than I usually expect from comics.
Yeah, it seems like a dig.
No, it wasn't a dig. It's just oftentimes I feel like when comics try to be not literary but more highbrow, it comes across as either preachy or pretentious. I don't know the right. You know what I mean? So like, so there's one part where you can disagree. It's all right. Like when I feel like sometimes when, and this is not just comics, but you know, we've talked about it in a literary fiction episode too. I think sometimes when authors really want to make it clear that this is what they want to say,
yeah,
it rings hollow or it's off key or something. So there's one part where the bad guy's talking. And she says, this is the sort of monologue you run in your head with lovers you never speak to again.
Yeah.
When she's thinking of what she's going to say, but she's not actually going to say it. And then there's a few points when they talk about the awareness of kind of the fantasy tropes that they're inhabiting, right? Mm-hmm. And sort of the strangeness of having those things become real. I particularly like the part where the fallen, which say we just call them orcs.
Right.
And then it says... there's something you can kill with no moral question whatsoever, and like how easy it is for fantasy and stuff to just take the idea of the other and then just make it slightly monstrous enough that,
right,
you know, like Narnia and Lord of the Rings were largely analogs for real things, but by turning, you know, the enemy into something not quite human, it made it okay. Whereas when the Nazis turned something into not quite human, it was an atrocity, you know,
right.
And how fantasy is quick to brush that aside for the sake of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's recognition of that without dwelling on it or like putting a bold box around it and pointing at it. I thought was really nice and well done.
Yeah, I mean, there's an obvious affection for the material here from the writer, and also intense research and thought going into it. This is not...
And I think criticism.
Yeah, yeah. And Gillen is a games critic before he was a comics writer. And from following him on Twitter, you can read a lot about his obsession with role-playing games. And he's into Warhammer and shit like that. So he's, you know, obviously really into this stuff and so has a lot to say about it. So that comes across very, very easily. Characters are strong here. Found the characters to be really compelling. And this was their first intro when they kind of meet for their game night before they have their trauma incident, whatever. They get almost like Breakfast Club-style character tropes or sort of types kind of introduced to you very quickly, but it's effective, I think. You know, the one character is kind of like emotional and wishy-washy. The one character is kind of like a dope or a jock kind of type, essentially. There's the snotty French girl. It comes across really effectively, and we see in their fantasy characters how those sort of personality traits are modified or exploited in certain ways.
Yeah, like, well, not only that, but used pretty effectively, yeah. I think. The kind of jockey, impetuous guy, mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh my god, what are you doing? You know, I think she even says, like, fools rush in or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was right. He saw through, they were basically being presented with an illusion, and he pretended to fall for it, but then didn't, and killed this thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a nice, very quick flip of the tropes you're presented with their character kind of archetypes.
Yeah, there's some subversion going on here.
Right, and then there's that character, the sad character whose power builds the sadder he gets. So they're like trying to make him dig into that sadness to become
right.
strong enough to kill, I don't know, whatever the hell was was attacking them. That was when I was lost. But
and then he was a badass too, which was cool.
Yeah.
He was the guy with like the fire sword, right?
But he was trying to resist. He was like, don't do this to me.
He's like, don't make me do that.
Yeah, because she
like, I'll apologize when it's done.
Yeah, made him relive the trauma of his parents dying or his mom dying, right? Yeah. So it's incredibly fucked up.
This whole thing, like this kid that invented this, like it's fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not clear if he wrote the whole world or not, or if he like discovered it and then used the game as well. I hope we get into that.
But oh, I'm sure, yeah.
It's definitely a twisted game scenario.
Yeah, so I'm on board with this too. I want to read more. But like Dave, I kind of wish, and this is maybe not fair criticism, but I wish it was... had a bit more time in the present first before I got to the fantasy realm. I was really like the idea of a story about characters who came back from their fantasy adventure and we sort of deal with their sort of traumas in the real world.
Do we think there's going to be flashing back and forth, or do we think we're just in the fantasy world from now on?
I bet we're in the fantasy realm from now on.
And part two, do we like that?
I guess we'll see. It could go either way with me.
I don't want flashing back and forth, but I want acknowledgement of it. I want them to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I might compare it to something we're going to talk about in a very near Comics Club Miss Marvel, where we've read through the end of issue 4 and we're just getting now into the first major, I guess, conflict with a baddie.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 4 issues are really like grounding us in the character and our home life and her discovery of having these powers. And I think that was much better done, the grounding, the foundational work, than here, where they throw them into it right away.
Right.
Throw us into it right away in issue 2.
Interesting. Yeah, different pacing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm on board for more.
I'd like to at least read 2 more and then see where we're at then.
Yeah, it's funny, when this first came out, I was going to skip it because I didn't like Wicked and Divine that much, and even though I've played role-playing games in the past, I've never been a big fan of it, or actually like, never been really super into it, and I felt like I might be left out of the series, but having read it with you guys, I feel a lot more interested now.
Maybe
so,
we should start a Yak Babies D&D club.
Well, apparently this game, like, Gillen is building the game of this world, right? He's sort of like, he's writing the game at the same time he's writing the comic.
Whoa.
And he said he's going to release the PDF of the game rules around issue 5, so maybe we can, actually.
All right, we'll start a campaign.
Play the version of the game. So...
you get to be the sadness guy.
Obviously. listeners, let us know what you think of Die. If you read it, if you're going to read it, if you didn't read it, tell us about what's going on with your short reactions of the series on Twitter at YakBabies and by email at YakBabiesPodcast@gmail.com. Also, we don't mention this enough, but leave us a review on iTunes or give us stars or something like that. That's always helpful to have that sort of feedback there, and it helps people pay attention to our podcast.
And tell your comics-loving friends to give us a listen.
Yeah, do you have friends who play role-playing games, who read comics, who are German, anything of that? Tell them so we can listen to this podcast and spread the word about the good work being done by Yak Babies. Oh my god. Well, anyway.
That was a bit much.
Yak Babies yakking off.
I'll feed the scene.